Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Welcome back to Right on Four Corners. I'm your host, Delcherie Gladden. I'm a USA Today bestselling author, over 30 published novels. And on today's show, I have Marcia Rosen. She's going to be talking about her new cozy mystery, Murder at the Zoo. Marcia, go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'd be delighted to, and thank you for this opportunity, Delcherie. Actually, I've written 11 books, 9 of them mysteries. I've written 3 series. The first was Dying to be Beautiful, and there was 4 books in that, and they were based in the Hamptons. And then the second series was The Senior Sleuth, and that's because I just wanted to write about older couples showing that they could be adventurous and exciting and do wonderful things, including sleuthing. And then my new series, this is the first, and the second book is in the works, basically called an Agatha Raymond Sherlock and Me mystery, Murder at the Zoo. And basically, it does take place, I've had it at the Albuquerque Zoo. I'm sure I'll never be invited there, but at any rate, there's no animals that are hurt. It's just that the murders and the whole scene for the book take place there, but I would never murder the animals. So that's regarding this book, and it comes out March 14th is the release date, and it's actually published by a New Mexico publisher. So that's really been pretty exciting, and he's just really been terrific. And I've done a lot of speaking and moderating programs and doing book talks on all different kinds of subjects, from encouraging the writer within and memoir writing and anatomy of writing a murder and how to write a mystery. For this book, I included some articles about listening to famous detectives, because that's a lot of what happens in this book. The protagonist has got these voices in her head from famous past authors. That's kind of an overview. I live in Albuquerque. I'm a member of a number of writing organizations, which I think is really important. Anybody who's a writer and listening to this, belonging to writing organizations is very beneficial on so many levels. So,
how did you get interested in writing? When did that start for you? I know a lot of people, especially that I've spoken to more recently, this is kind of after an initial career, now you finally have time to put that energy toward writing. So how did that come into your life, and how did that work for you?
It's kind of a combination of what you're just saying. I knew when I was 14 years old I wanted to be a writer. Other things got in the way. I did do a lot of writing. I actually have been probably a fairly successful entrepreneur for 20-some years. I owned a marketing and PR agency. And when you have a marketing and PR agency, you do a lot of writing. It was at a time when it was great for a woman to be making her own money, which I'm a huge fan of. Virginia Woolf said that women writers need a room of their own. And I'm just a fan that women also need money of their own. So that was great that I had this business. And then I think, you know, my first book I wrote actually that was published with a traditional publisher, and I had an agent in New York, and I wrote the woman's business book, actually, How to Succeed in Business and Getting Over the Mind Blocks and Roadblocks that, you know, a lot of women, I think, in that period of time had. And then I just kept writing, and I started to decide, I love mysteries. I love mystery television series, The Acorn and British Mysteries, and I love puzzles. So, you know, doing a mystery is putting a puzzle together. So it was a combination of that. And I've really, you know, with my business, I've kind of cut down some. So you're right in that way that there is more time for me to do the writing. Although my older son did want to know if I couldn't write books that were other than murdering people. Like, no, I kind of like this. So that's where I'm at with this now.
I love that. And I think working on those mysteries, they're a lot of fun. They're fun to develop. I enjoy that process of, you know, like you said, it's kind of like a puzzle, putting those pieces together and figuring out all the different components to build that mystery and make it entertaining for the reader.
Right. And still hoping, well, the reader will become engaged and interested. If they kind of don't actually really know who the murderers are till near the end. So I've had a couple people that I know review and read Murder at the Zoo, and they all said that they could not figure out who the murderer was. They kind of have a hint closer to the end, so I thought, I like that. But one of the first things a couple people said to me, you don't kill the animals, do you? I go, no, I promise I don't. But it is kind of fun to create those kind of scenarios where, you know, whodunit sort of things.
It is. And I wanted to ask you about your process for developing your mysteries, because this is a new series for you, but you've done mysteries in the past with the senior sleuths. Tell me about your process for putting that mystery together.
I've taught a lot of writing classes. I've taught a lot of memoir writing classes and novel writing classes and just different kinds of writing programs. So one of the questions often asked to begin with in terms of my writing process is, do I write it where I plan everything out? Or do I sort of do it like a panzer, it's called, or organically? And I don't plan it out. I pretty much know, obviously, writing a mystery. I know there's going to be murders, and in my books, there's going to be several murders. And I know that I'm going to have a resolution at the end. Obviously, that would be important. Then I kind of create the characters. But a lot of the writing that I do is sort of just organically. Some ideas just develop as I'm going through, and I know that there's certain characters and certain things I want to include. I think most mystery writers, we like creating some red herrings that you think this person would be the murderer or some other person would be, and of course it turns out they're not. And trying to make the person who are persons who are murderers seem like they could possibly be the murderers. So, you know, my process, and actually once I sit down, is I initially just literally sit down, Del Shirley, and start writing on blue or pink or purple line pads. You know, I just enjoy writing on those. And then I transfer what I like onto the computer. And I realize it might be cumbersome for some people to do that. And I actually probably do more writing on computers now than I did when, of course, they started years ago. However, I really write and rewrite and write and rewrite. And I really encourage people, you know, I think that's really important. I go through it and I delete how many times I don't need the word that. And I delete how many times I don't need to keep saying she said, he said. Once I do that, I have a wonderful woman editor that I use. She goes through it and sends it back to me. And then I decide what I want to accept, what I don't, and go through it. So there's a lot of my writing and rewriting and editing. I particularly know what my skills are. And grammar, punctuation are not my skills. So I make sure that I work with a really good editor for that. So that's a lot of what my process is.
That's fascinating. Often with mysteries, a lot of people will say, like, you can't approach that as a pantser. Like, it has to be lined out.
Right.
You've really got to, you know, do that outlining and planning. And
right.
I'm a little bit more like you, where I have some points that I know are going to be in there.
Yeah.
But I've always been more of a pantser, and so that's kind of also how I approach mysteries. And sometimes, yeah, I do have a few things where I have to go back and fix later.
Right.
But
well, I think with any writing, you have to go back and fix some and mm-hmm. correct some. I think it was when I was writing this new mystery, and my editor said, okay, is this character's name this or this? And it was like I kept making one character. I always like a gangster character, and in the mystery book, and at one point I had him Jacob, and another point I think I had him Joseph. So it's important to go back and make sure you're correcting. That's an advantage of a good editor. You're right, you know, there's certain points you have. And what I do is I make sure that I'll make on the computer, I'll list, okay, here's a dozen chapters, and I might make a note, oh, remember, you know, to do a chapter on this or write a chapter on this. So these things do come up, as you know, as you're writing organically like that. So I'll save it and make a note about it and then want to write it. Or I don't know if it happens to you, but I'll be writing and I'll go, oh, I think it would be great to have this new character in. I wonder how they could be involved and participate. And the other thing that's very important to me, and I've written an article about it called Location, Location, Location. And I think location is as important to character as, you know, protagonist, your murders, and so forth.
I agree with that. You know, there are some stories where it could kind of take place anywhere. But a lot of the time, that can kind of leave a little bit of a lacking
right.
side of the story where that setting could play a bigger part. And I always think it's fun when you read something set somewhere new and you can really discover that place through the characters and see how it impacts them and how it impacts the story. Being that this one is set in Albuquerque and that's somewhere I'm familiar with, it was fun to see some of those places and different things about the area that I'm like, oh, I know that.
Well, exactly. And my feeling is that when I did the Senior Sleuths, one of them took place in New York, and I had lived there, so I knew if you turn right here, you go left here, you go down past this street and so forth. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, New Mexico is not that familiar. And I think if somebody in Nebraska or New York or Miami or wherever is reading the book, to give them a sense of what the landscape is, what the place is like, what the scenery is like, what the sky is like, I hope that that, like, helps engage the reader, that they can have a sense of being in that place. That's just part of my style in terms of, even when I was doing the Senior Sleuths that took place in New York, was wanting to engage the reader to feel like, oh, I'm kind of there as I'm reading the book. I think that comes across. I'm glad you kind of felt that way about it.
Yeah, I think it did come across really well. Like I said, like, I'm familiar with the area, but it did also seem, reading it, it was like, this gives a good sense of the area and what this unique part of the country is like. That's a fun part of doing this show, because we do focus on writers in the Four Corners, and I get to see parts of this area from a different perspective, which is also really cool. And it's neat to see how it highlights the interesting aspects of this area that aren't necessarily something that people experience in other parts of the country.
I have wondered, as I began to write the mysteries, I wondered if it wasn't partly true, even though I love Tony Hillerman's writing, I love his stories, but he brought you into location as character. You were going past certain mountains or certain roads, but you had such a sense that you were going to places that his story was taking you. So, you know, and that being in the Four Corners, you have writers who have so much opportunity to explore different areas and different landscapes and different lifestyles. And as I said, there are so many local authors, and there's a couple of really good, strong New Mexico writing organizations.
There's a really significant community. I don't know so much about southern New Mexico because I'm not as familiar with it, but Albuquerque, Santa Fe, that whole area. There's quite a few writers groups who really stay very involved and help each other and provide a lot of resources, which I think is really nice, especially for newer writers getting going.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Two of the bigger ones, really, I mean, people from anywhere in the state can. I mean, there's Sisters in Crime. The main location, obviously, is in Albuquerque. But anybody can join it, whether Four Corners or Southern New Mexico, and at least participate in the online information and online programs. And then there's the Southwest Writers, and they offer the same thing. It's a little different. It's not just mystery writers. But I love Sisters in Crime. I had belonged, when I lived in California previously, I had belonged to Sisters in Crime in L.A. And there's always, in all the Sisters in Crime, there's always two or three men who belong. So I think they figured out it's a really good organization. I know that it's beneficial. People can get a lot out of that, especially either one if they're starting to write. Or like myself, I'm able to submit articles that go into their newsletters or their blogs and acquaints the members with what I'm doing and interest in what I'm writing. So I think that's a really good thing for any of the writers to do, is to belong to writing associations.
Definitely. It can be a really solitary pursuit, and being able to find that community, I think, really helps keep people motivated with their writing and helps them find new styles and new things to try and expand their abilities a little bit more.
Well, it gives them, like you're just saying, new connections. It is kind of a very solitary type of work. I make sure I get up like every half hour. I just need to walk around before I feel like I'm stuck to the computer. But the fact is, you know, I belong to like five or six different organizations, a couple others that are obviously national ones. And actually, Sisters in Crime, you also join, you're a member of the national organization. But it is important to have these connections and just feel that you're not totally isolated in what you're doing. Getting responses, or if you want a question to somebody. I actually belong to Public Safety Writers Association. And it's a really good one for people writing mysteries. And probably three quarters of the members It's not that big an organization, but I would say those members were previously detectives, retired detectives, police people, fire, and they're very willing and available. If you are writing your mystery and you go, I wonder, can I really say this, or is this really true, or they're very supportive in replying, you know, is it a coroner, or is it this, or is that? They're just very responsive. Anyone listening and wanting to write should think about, obviously, the number one genre are romance novels. And if you're writing a romance novel, you should belong to the Romance Writers of America. And if you're writing poetry, there's that. Or like mystery, there's a number of good mystery organizations and mystery writers conferences as well.
Yeah, just about any genre out there, there is a writer's group somewhere that will offer classes and resources and just community. Yeah. And that's really neat about the public safety one. I had not heard of that one, so I will check that out because that sounds like something I could use as well.
Yeah, if, you know, I think that it's great. You know, the members, probably members from back east, but they have an annual meeting every summer in July in Las Vegas. But I went to a couple. It's in the New Orleans Hotel. And they have good speakers. You get a chance to speak or be on a panel if you want. But again, what you said, it's the connections and networking. And I've had several people there so supportive, featuring me on their blogs and the organization's newsletter, probably a couple times a year runs an article I write. It's not a big organization, but they're very supportive and a nice group of people. There's several of the members there in Las Vegas, a few in California. They're all over. But you might check it out. I found it very valuable. And, you know, I also belong to Women Writing the West, since I wrote a book that takes place in the West. I thought that would be valuable. And then I'm also a member of, it's called the National Association of Independent Writers and Editors. And there's a woman who owns it, started it. She's back east. But there's a lot of connection. And, I mean, I found the editor I'm working with through it, and she's the best editor I've ever had. So networking and connecting is really important. And we need that, like you said. We're sitting alone at a computer or with a pad. It really helps. So, and what you're doing is so helpful. I feel that we're reaching out to the public through programs like yours.
Well, on that subject of finding that community, that was something that is an interesting aspect of your book, is that your main character, Miranda Scott, kind of has her own little community of mystery enthusiast detectives that kind of reside in her thoughts.
In her head. I know, right?
Tell me about that, where you came up with that idea and how you integrated that into the story.
I think, and you probably know this too, you know, when you're a writer, sometimes you're writing and all of a sudden, you know, things come into your mind. And I think part of it is, you know, for years, I myself have really watched, you know, old black and white mysteries, you know, like The Thin Man and, you know, Raymond Chandler's and all of those wonderful black and white old mysteries. And yet I still watch the mysteries that are like Midsummer Murders and ones that are Agatha Christie ones and all of those that, again, that are on Acorn or BritBox. And I just thought about that, and I thought, because a lot of times when I'm writing, it was like, well, how they've written. And I started thinking about that, and I thought, well, how can I do that? And it was like, well, create a character that she has had these voices in her head. I don't know that I've had their voices in my head since I'm young, but I've read these kind of mysteries since I'm young and gone to the library since I'm young. And then I thought, okay, so I need to be able to find a way to incorporate that in the story while creating a mystery. And if there's always some kind of, you know, something where somebody's telling you to do this or do that, and don't do it this way, and don't, if you watch some of the old police detectives, there's always a curmudgeon police detective saying he doesn't agree with you or don't do this or whatever. So I thought, I don't know why, it just came to me, Desiree. I did. So then my concern was to do it right. And I actually have a good friend who's a director of a library back east, and she's a huge reader. So anyhow, we went through what would be the best kind of voice for each of these characters, which is, you know, obviously the voice of Agatha Christie with being yes, dear, and sweetheart, you know, she's definitely telling you what to do. And then, of course, Raymond Chandler, you know, his stories were always this tough guy. Everything was this sort of tough guy. So, you know, he's being, well, just do this or just do that. And then Sherlock is, everything is, you need to pay attention to detail. And at first I had my two others and librarian friend and editor. She had done some initial editing. She said, no, 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 three are enough. We have any more. It took a lot to do it so that it wouldn't be confusing. I mean, I think a couple times people may not be, but I'm sure. But I try to be very careful that, you know, when Agatha said something or Sherlock or Raymond did. But I think part of what it was my mindset about creating another way to have somebody solve mysteries. And so, of course, she was there, and then the detective, which, you know, she keeps trying to have a romance with, but, you know, murder and her gangster father keep getting in the way. So somewhere came into my head to do it, like we all do, with, as you do with when you're writing. And then you think, well, okay, where can I go with this? And so it was really fun to see where I could put this and where they fit. Sometimes it didn't fit. Sometimes I might have said something before, you know, my editor looked at it, that should have been Sherlock instead of Raymond. But it came from all of that, and it was really kind of fun and exciting to do it. And, you know, I've had some nice responses to the whole concept, you know, and then they'll say, you know, have I had these voices in my head? But I think as writers, we do kind of have some voices in our head, just in a different way, maybe.
Definitely. I think that's something a lot of writers joke about, is listening to the voices in your head when you're writing. But they're just, you know, stories and people and trying to put it all together. And I love when those ideas come together and it's just like, not sure where that came from, but I'm going to run with it. Yeah.
Well, mine have just happened to be several dead authors who just seem to, you know, in this particular book, speak to her. And then, of course, needing to create that she'd been hearing them because why and how she'd watched them so often and listening to them and stuff like that. I think, like, you know, there's times characters that somebody, their parent tells them what to do or has suggestions or other things. Honestly, somehow this came into my head and I liked it and then talked to my, you know, editor, librarian friend back east and others, and it just went from there. I thought they were really great when they were coming, helping to solve her crimes and they were happening. And at some point, you know, that she would say to them, be quiet, you know, like she didn't need them to keep telling her what to do. And then I'm working on the second book in the series. I'm thinking, well, you know, at this point, I'm not sure where I'm going to put these characters, but they will certainly be a part of it. Absolutely.
I think that you did do a really nice job of giving them different voices so you could tell who was talking. I didn't feel like there was at any point where I found that confusing. Very nice job on that. And I thought it was...
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, I thought it was neat, too, that they kind of serve a mentor role that Miranda didn't have in her life. Her dad's kind of absent through this. Her mom's around, but not exactly a mentor.
Not really around, right?
Yeah, not helpful, per se.
Right, exactly.
And that's a common thing with mysteries, is to have that sort of mentor person, especially for like amateur sleuths. And since she didn't really have that, they served that purpose. And I thought that that was a really neat way to approach something that's typically part of that genre.
That's a great perception of this, because I hadn't worded it that way, but it is a really good perception of it, because it was kind of like, since she was young, going to the library, all her involvement in these, watching these kinds of films, was sort of like creating her family. It's exactly, seems like that's what it was for her. And then, of course, as she got a little older, living with her father, which was a good thing. However, I like that, your view of that, because they, in her own way, did become kind of a family. So, of course, she would begin to listen to them.
Now, you said that these characters, this is part of the series, so they're going to continue on in the next book.
Right.
What are your plans for the next book?
Well, the next book that I'm working on, I'm probably about maybe a quarter of the way through, and I'm not taught the exact title, but it's going to be called, you know, either The Cinderella or Podcast Murders. So far, I'm just doing it The Cinderella and Podcast Murders, because it's a combination of Cinderella murders, where the way they're killed, with somebody leaving a shoe all the time. And then the podcast is kind of a combination. And again, you know how it is when you're writing organically, you're sort of, I got to figure this out. Because a big part of what it is with the podcast murders was being able to show that the podcaster is really talking about murders that happened on Route 66. And in reality, there's a lot of murders that happened on Route 66 when it was in its heyday. So I wanted to create the podcaster was involved somehow talking about these murders that happened particularly in the western state on Route 66, And was he involved in these, what are called Cinderella murders? And it's a little complicated at this point because I'm still kind of working it out. But it's the same thing. It's Miranda's still the main character. There's still the voices talking to her. There's still the detective that they're trying to have their fine romance with all the interruptions. And their father, and the gangster there. Her crazy mother is there getting involved where she shouldn't. And it's kind of bringing a little bit of the, you know, those same characters. But at the end of the first book is the uncle showing up. And so there's a big part of that in the next book. And he was found at the scene of the murder. And was he the murderer? So I have to come up with what the really best title should be for the fact that it's a combination of, you know, as I said, the Cinderella and podcast murders. But it's still going to be similar what I said with the three famous voices. The whole thing with the Route 66 podcast is interesting, that he's basically the Route 66 podcaster for reasons that will show up later. And I think that could be interesting, particularly on the West. On Central, they're just opening a Route 66 center or something they built, which is beautiful. So that's where it's going. And I love writing articles all the time that relate to whatever book that I'm doing. Like I just started to write an article about the Route 66 murders. So that's where I'm kind of at with that at this point. The new book, Murder at the Zoo, the release is on the 14th. So I'm really involved in making sure I'm doing things I need to let people know about the book at this point.
This is a great way to do that. And on that note, we are just about out of time. Where can people find you and stay up to date on what you're doing and when that next book is going to come out?
They can go to my website, which is www.marciarosen.com. If anyone wants to email me any questions or send me information, put them on my e-letter list. It's marciagrosen@gmail.com. I will be doing a book signing launch event March 25th at Barnes & Noble in Albuquerque from 12 to 3. That would be fun if people wanted to come and meet me and get a book and talk about it. And so anyway, you know, they can go to the website, they can email me. The book is already on pre-order on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. So trying to think of, you know, I'm probably sometime this summer I'll do a book event at Treasure House Books, which is in Old Town, Albuquerque. And I'm not sure you know, but he is so wonderful, the owner, to local authors. So he often has local authors as guests. Book signings. So that's where it's at right now. I welcome people to contact me. And any questions, any suggestions about my crazy authors in my head, welcome to get advice or have them join me and read the book or talk about it. That'd be great.
Thank you so much. And so again, for our listeners, it's Murder at the Zoo by Marcia Rosen. And go check it out. Grab a copy. It's a really fun book and a really good mystery. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me to be a guest on your show. I greatly appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.